This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Chodesh Tov, hope you're well.
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. I know we've been very focused on this minor issue of this peace agreement, or maybe an agreement that doesn't bring peace. Mm-hmm. But of course, there is a much more important event going on in the world, which of course is the World Cup, and I know that a lot of people have been following that. Unfortunately, Israel is not represented on the field at the World Cup, even though ironically there are countries that are ranked below Israel who somehow through the qualifying system managed to get to the World Cup. Israel did not. However, Israel is incredibly well represented at the World Cup through a number of technological companies that are working in cooperation with FIFA, in cooperation with organizers of the World Cup. Companies like WSC Sport, which has got an incredible AI-based technology to replay important parts of the game instantly on your phone or wherever you're watching. And WSC uses the crowd volume and it uses the score line to assess what's going on in real time and to pick up an important play in the game and to create a short clip out of that important play to have it instantly available for rewatching right away. It's an incredible company with an incredible technology, and they do a really great job. Ticketing systems, SeatPick, for example, is managing the global distribution of tickets for fans attending the matches. We know there's been a lot of controversies. Luckily, SeatPick aren't having to establish the pricing system, but they are managing the distribution. Interestingly, a company called Centrix is doing defense work at the World Cup venues. And Centrix is responsible for protecting low altitude airspace above the stadiums. So this is already not a security within the stadium, watching the crowd, keeping troublemakers out. This is all about the airspace right above the stadium, because that's now become a real thing with the drones that are so easily available. That's what Centrix is doing. And of course, there are Israeli companies that are also, they've developed wearable and cleat-based technologies that are able to monitor the athletes, the players' movements, their footwork, how hard they kick the ball, what angle they use to kick the ball. These are little devices that are put over the boot, on the cleat of the shoe that the players wear. Incredible. And it sends real-time information back about all the movements and about everything that the player does in order to somehow help to improve that. So that's just a little bird's eye view of some of the Israeli technology that's currently operating at the World Cup.
Absolutely unbelievable. But let's talk about the deal, because that really is a big subject. And I see that Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke last night. He refused to criticize the deal between the US and Iran. I found it a bit odd that he says he's not criticizing it because he hasn't seen it. Well, why isn't he seeing it? You know, it's like it just doesn't make sense. And then we hear that it's a page and a half. So it can't be difficult to show it to somebody. I don't know how you could come to an agreement with Iran in a page and a half unless the font size is like four. But I don't know. Talk to me.
Well, I think that, you know, the fact that the agreement is a page and a half indicates to all of us how unspecific it really is. It's just broad brush strokes, which really are very, very difficult to police ultimately because they're so general. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, I'm guessing, has probably seen at least an unofficial version of the agreement. We do know that President Trump formally has not released any text of the agreement, although there seems to be some discussion at the moment about the possibility that the form of the agreement, the text of the agreement, may well be released publicly or at least in a limited edition before the signing, which is now due to take place on Friday in Switzerland. So that's the current situation. But I think it was sort of convenient for Prime Minister Netanyahu to say, I haven't seen the deal, therefore I don't know, and therefore I can't criticize. Because ultimately, we need to remember that as much as we have this deal going on and a lot of dissatisfaction, I mean, dissatisfaction is probably a kind word, and people are very angry. A lot of people are very angry about the feeling that the Trump administration has essentially taken Israel to a certain point and supported us to a certain point. And now, when we really have the opportunity to finish the job and to really create a longer term peaceful situation, a future that at least will disable enemies of Israel from being able to act in the near future, we kind of drop the ball at that moment, and many people feel that Israel has been thrown under the bus, the so-called thrown under the bus scenario, because the United States has a different interest, and potentially President Trump in his personal capacity has a slightly different interest in trying to get to what he's described as a long-term and beautiful peace. I'm not sure whether it's long-term. I certainly don't think it's beautiful. And there is a question as to whether it really is peace or not. But the other point, which of course complicates our situation, is the fact that we're heading right into an election. And Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday was clearly electioneering. He was clearly promoting himself for the next election and positioning himself. So he wanted to try and present this as being an incredible success story for his government, for him personally, for his relationship with President Trump, which, of course, he refuses to acknowledge openly. I mean, even though he says we've had some difficult moments, and I mean, I think difficult is sort of an understatement of the reality. But we've had some difficult moments, but overall we get along, and we've got a good relationship, and everything is good and fine and well. I think that last night was more about an election campaign rather than really presenting the reality of facts on the ground, the reality that we've been at this war for almost 3 years, that we've had an opportunity, a real opportunity in our hand to change the future of our relationship with Iran. And I think we kind of just dropped it right at the last minute. I think that there were things that potentially could have been done in order to push the regime over the edge. I mean, that's just my view, because ultimately, I don't know whether it is really achievable to say, well, we've got rid of all the ballistic missiles. I think that inevitably that's a very, very tough thing to be able to do. I also think that it's very difficult to completely destroy the nuclear program, because even though I know a lot of damage has been done to the nuclear program, we also know that Iran earns massive amounts of foreign income through their sales of oil and through the control that they have over the Straits of Hormuz and the amount number of ships that sail through that area. They have massive income, and they could just invest this in regenerating their nuclear program relatively quickly. Exactly what's happened to that enriched uranium and what will happen to it remains to be seen. I think that ultimately the only way to get rid of the nuclear threat and to get rid of the ballistic threat, the threat of the ballistic missiles, is to remove whoever is controlling those aspects of Iran's policy. And again, you know, it sounds very simple for me to sit here in the comfort of my chair and, you know, pronounce about regime change and all that kind of stuff. It takes a lot more. But I had the sense that we might well have been on the edge of achieving that if things had been done a little differently. That's just my personal sense, perhaps an uneducated and perhaps an unkind sense to those who ultimately didn't do it. But that's my sense. But certainly now, we know for sure that Iran will sign up to whatever's being asked of them in order to release their funds and in order to reopen the Straits of Hormuz and for them to be able to regenerate this income that they will use for their nuclear program, for their ballistic missiles, and perhaps more dangerously from Israel's perspective, to continue to fund the proxy armies that have certainly taken a significant beating over the last few years. So, I mean, Iran will be lying through their teeth, and they will justify it through all types of Islamic history precedents in the Islamic world about how agreements were signed on the edge of Mecca in order to try to fool the enemy. And once those agreements had been signed and the enemy had been fooled, then the forces were able to come in and take Mecca. You know, there's some of these classic stories that go around about history. I have little doubt that whatever Iran is signing up to, they have little intention of adhering to. So the agreement can almost say anything, because we know that it's not going to work out well. I think it is a capitulation, however, to open the Straits of Hormuz so quickly, when we know that that's really a pain point for Iran. We know that they've suffered from the Straits being closed. And I just wonder whether we couldn't have used that lever, or the US administration couldn't have used that lever a little better and a little stronger in order to try to get a better outcome from the agreement. But, you know, my view about the agreement and how much we hate it and how it's too general and how it really doesn't address the issues, and it doesn't talk about Iran's support of proxy armies, and it doesn't address many issues, and it gives 60 days to negotiate this nuclear stuff, which we know will never happen. So I sort of am less concerned about that, and I'm just more concerned about where we head from here, knowing full well that whatever Iran's signing up to, they probably have no intention of sticking to. So what do we do with that knowledge in mind? Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu right now wants to use it in order to be re-elected, and that's precisely what he's doing.
Do you think that the United States are really that... I mean... You know, I think we flatter ourselves often to think that, we know the answers to so many things, and we're horrified by some of the decisions made. But do we really think that the U.S. doesn't know who they're dealing with, and that they are being hoodwinked?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner and President Trump are smart people. I don't think that it would be kind of us to think that we understand things better than they do. I mean, they have been in the weeds, especially Kushner and Witkoff have really been in the weeds of this. They've been discussing things directly with the Iranians. They are all, that you know, they have advisors, they have people who can do research. They would be well aware of the history. So I think it's a little disparaging of us sitting here to think that we know a lot more and a lot better than they do, when they've really been living this for the last few months and understanding who they're doing business with. But ultimately, I think that this is really about pursuing personal interests. And I think that right now the United States just wants to get an agreement on the table, wants to open the Straits of Hormuz, and potentially wants to drop the oil price. I think even though the U.S. has benefited from an increased oil price, because obviously they sell oil and so they benefit from an increased price, but I think that the damage that it's done to the U.S. economy has been way greater than being able to sell their oil for a higher price. So I think that President Trump has significant interest to reduce the oil price in order to get the U.S. economy back on the road and to get a little bit more support from people on his home front. He just wants the Straits open. He wants the oil price down. He wants this to go away so he can go on to Greenland or Cuba, whatever his next project is. And of course, he wants to somehow get that Nobel Peace Prize, which is why this is going to be a long and beautiful piece. And everybody should hear that as loudly as possible. So I think that the U.S. are just pursuing personal interest right now and just getting this done. They know who they're dealing with. And I think they know that whatever gets signed up to is never going to be adhered to. So we need to also hear what President Trump says when he criticizes the Obama regime for having signed a ridiculous agreement. He has made every effort to lift his own status higher, particularly than previous presidents, and particularly Obama, who had a certain support and following and was relatively liked. And it's important for Trump to somehow be better than that. And he's done a lot of work to lift his own profile, to try and put himself against that and to show why he's better. So I think these are all personal interests being served here. I think they know who they're doing business with. I think they know that the Iranians have no intention of adhering to this.
Have to think that.
And we're just kicking the can down the road for another day.
That is where we leave it, as we kick the can down the road until tomorrow at 7:45. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. A chat to you Wednesday, 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.